In light of the world situation, the gravity of the world situation, we felt to come together. So we're going to stay all together this morning. The children will stay in as long as they can. But we wanted all the saints, including the parents, to hear this word. So there will be fellowship from several brothers. We have a letter from the co-workers to read. But let's start with reading some verses. Let's open up to Matthew 24. We'll read a few verses from Matthew 24, and then from Matthew 6, and then Matthew 18. So let's open up 24. We'll start with verse 3. We'll read verses 3. Actually, we'll read verses 3 through 8. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. Maybe the brothers can read verse 3, and then we'll alternate with the brothers and sisters.
And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the consummation of the age?" For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and they will lead many astray.
Nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Altogether, verse 8. All these things are the beginning of birth pangs. So we'll go to Matthew chapter 6. And we will read verses 9, 10, and 13. 9, 10, and 13. Let's read these three verses all together. Verses 9, 10, and 13.
For yours.
Amen.
And the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And then we'll also read from Matthew 18. We will read verses 18 and 19 and 20. 18, 19, and 20. We'll read these. We can read these all together as well. Matthew 18, verses 18, 19, and 20. So we know from these verses in Matthew related to the prayer for the kingdom, along with in the book of Daniel, there is a spiritual scene that's an invisible scene behind the physical scene. Outwardly, there's war in Europe. It's a grave situation. And we also know that there is a spiritual force behind it. And from these verses, there will be wars and rumors of wars, and saints, this is the beginning of birth pangs. We are God's kingdom people. Amen. And we are here to bring in His kingdom to the earth. Amen. This is the highest purpose. And the church has a very wonderful and unique commission to bring in God's will to the earth.
Amen.
And so even the Lord teaches us in Matthew 6 how to pray. It starts with God. It doesn't start with our need. It starts with God's need. That His name would be sanctified. His kingdom would come and His will would be done.
Amen.
And this is how we aim our prayer today. And we'll have more to share today and in the coming weeks about the matter of prayer. So we don't pray from our feeling. We don't pray from the earthly position.
Right.
We are positioned in the heavenlies.
Yeah.
And when we pray from the heavens to the earth.
Amen.
To release heaven's will to the earth.
Amen.
This is a marvelous and even tremendous privilege that we as the church have.
Amen.
So I'll read a section from Prayer Ministry of the Church in a moment, but just in the way of a brief update, just in the Lord's arrangement, I have contact with, even prior to this situation, brothers in the Ukraine, a particular brother in the church in Kyiv. And so I've been getting daily reports, and there's also been other reports that have been shared, so we're getting many, many reports of the situation. And so just in brief, there's a couple things I'd like to highlight. You know, outwardly, the situation is dire. And if we read the news even this morning, the situation is serious. And so many of the saints in the churches there, they are either in meeting halls or maybe they're bunkered down in basements. And initially, the saints that were meeting in Kyiv, the meeting hall, there were 25. There's now about 35 or more. Initially, they were scared. There was fear. Okay? And you could understand. The bombs, the rockets are dropping. There's uncertainty. Okay. But then, and I believe this is absolutely due to the prayer, the saint's testimony yesterday was when speaking to one of the brothers, dear brother Oleg, he made the comment, because the saints were praying and singing, he made the comment, are we in a conference or are we in a war? Meaning that the prayer from the heavens, the prayer, the intercession from Christ, was meeting the needs of the dear saints in Kyiv, that they were enjoying Him in the midst of this warfare.
Amen.
That they were enjoying Christ to such an extent that they would even ask, are we in a conference or are we in a war? And the answer is yes. So I believe that this is altogether due to all the prayer from the churches around the earth at this time of need. And this is related to our cooperation, and this is related to our prayer ministry, the prayer ministry of the church. We will have some time, we'll have some fellowship, more fellowship, some reading, and at the conclusion we will have prayer together. I would like to read a section from Prayer Ministry of the Church. This is chapter 1. I think it's prepared for the translation. This is related to our commission and our praying big prayers. The Lord needs big prayers to be uttered in these days. He wants to come back.
Amen.
Our heart is for the Lord to come back.
Amen.
For Him to establish His kingdom on the earth, to build up the body, to prepare the bride, so that He could return.
Amen.
This is our desire. Brothers and sisters, when we truly stand on the ground of the church and take up the responsibility of such a ministry of prayer before God, we will see God's will carried out in the church where we are.
Amen.
Otherwise, everything will be in vain. There can be many prayers or few prayers, but the main thing is to have strong prayers. What God does today is measured by the amount of prayer that the church offers. Listen to this. God's power cannot exceed the prayer of the church. God's power cannot exceed the prayer of the church. The power of God today can at most be as great as the prayer of the church. This does not mean that God's power is limited in heaven. In heaven, God's power is unlimited. But on earth, God's power is manifested to the degree that the church prays. The amount that the church prays will be the measure of the amount that God's power is manifested. Consequently, the church has to learn to pray big prayers and make big requests. The prayer of the church is often very small. It prays only for ordinary problems. This is not enough. The church needs to have big prayers and make big requests. Since the church is coming to such a rich God, there must not be small prayers and small requests. Since the church is coming to such a rich God, there must be great things happening. If the capacity of the church before God is small, it will restrict the power of God from being manifested. We know that the question of the overcomers is not quite resolved, and Satan is not yet thrown into the abyss. God must gain a vessel for his testimony before he can accomplish what he has set out to accomplish. The church must have big prayers to manifest our God.
Amen.
This is the ministry of the church. Brothers and sisters, I do not know whether God can say to us that this church has a ministry of prayer when he passes by our prayer meeting. It is not a question, brothers and sisters, it is not a question of how often we pray. It is a question of the weight of our prayer. If we see the church's responsibility of prayer, we will see that our prayers are not big enough. We are limiting God and frustrating his work. The church has forsaken its duty. What a sad situation this is. The issue at stake is this. Can God gain a church that is faithful to its ministry? This depends on whether we are those destined to be disqualified or whether we are the real vessels of God who will fulfill God's goal. Brothers and sisters, we have to cry out loudly that God is watching to see whether the church is faithful to its ministry. The ministry of the church is prayer.
Amen.
Not small prayers, but prayers that pioneer the way for God.
Amen.
God is accomplishing his work, but the church first prays and prepares the way before God finds the way. The church must have, and you can write this down, these are three categories of prayers. The church must have big prayers,
Amen.
Serious prayers,
Amen.
And strong prayers. Prayer cannot be small before God. If prayers are centered around ourselves, our personal difficulties, and our small losses and gains, it will be difficult to open a way for God's eternal will. Many things should drive us to dig deep, but above all, prayer should drive us to the utmost depth. And then it almost concluded here. For two to be in harmony is not an empty word. It is not a slogan. If we do not know what the body of Christ is and have not taken this ground, it will be useless even if 200 people are praying together. If we know the body of Christ and stand on the proper ground of this body to deny the flesh, if we do not ask for ourselves but ask for God's will to be done on earth, we will see that our prayer is in harmony. When this happens, God in heaven will fulfill our prayer on earth.
Amen.
So this is related to our prayer ministry. Brothers and sisters, okay, this is inspirational. To me, this is worth giving our life for.
Amen.
The Lord needs this type of prayer to be released for his hand, for his will to be done on the earth. So in addition, then, I'd like to take a few more minutes to fellowship about how we pray. How do we pray these big prayers? How do we release God's hand and God's will on the earth? There is some wonderful fellowship. Dear saints, just a few years ago, we had a crystallization study training on Exodus. And we had four trainings on Exodus. And the third training had a message on the golden incense altar. I would highly encourage, because many of us were in these trainings, to go back to review message 5 on the golden incense altar, and then also on message 8 on the propitiatory silver, which is related to the army. And I'll maybe touch that briefly at the end. The picture of the tabernacle shows us the way for us to enter into God and to be one with Him. And we see with the picture of the tabernacle that there are actually different types of prayers. Not all prayers are the same. There are different types of prayer. In the outer court, when we come to the brass or bronze altar, the offer of the altar of burnt offering, we have certain types of prayer. Prayer for confession, prayer for repentance, prayers of consecration. These are necessary, but this is one type of prayer. And a lot of believers, this is the extent of their prayer. The extent of their prayer revolves around the altar of burnt offering. And again, this is a critical experience for us in our Christian life. We must have these prayers, even daily. We had another training on Leviticus, where most of the training was on the five primary offerings. We need to learn daily as priests to offer this wonderful Christ to God. Amen. And this matter of the burnt offering is actually very, very important in relation to carrying out this kind of prayer. In the holy place, we have three items of furniture. We have the showbread table, we have the golden lampstand, and we have the golden incense altar. And in this we have a deeper fellowship with the Lord. This is in many ways the prayer of fellowship. We are fellowshipping with the Lord. We are enjoying Him in His Word. We enjoy Him at the showbread table. And actually, that also can be referred to as the bread of His presence. And so we have His presence. We have His face. It's the face bread. This is wonderful in our experience with the Lord. This is another type of prayer. And actually, if we are to be those that pray the prayers that move God's hand, we need to eat Christ as the energizing bread. Actually, all these points really link together. So it's a progression. It's a progressive experience. And so then we come to the lampstand. We have God's light. We have God shining. That may bring in more confession and a deeper repentance, which then brings us further into Christ. And then we have the golden incense altar. And actually, our experience of the incense altar also has different degrees. Our prayer at that point brings us into the deepest and most intimate fellowship with the Lord, which is in the Holy of Holies. Really, this is where God's glory is. Actually, the hymn, I'm so happy we finished with the hymn that we did. This shows us our progressive experience of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God's goal is to bring us, is to lead us into glory. This is in the Holy of Holies. And actually, this is where we get infused with God Himself. We get infused with His glory. We get infused with His substance, with His element. We learn His mind. He imparts His feelings into us. Okay, at this point then, after spending time with Him in the Holy of Holies, now we are qualified to join Him as the interceding Christ, as the intercessing Christ at the golden incense altar. This is another type of prayer. And actually, dear saints, this requires our deeper experience with the Lord. We can't just march in and go to the golden incense altar and start praying all sorts of prayers. Actually, we need Christ to be added as the incense. And there's a lot of significance, and we don't have time to get into the details. Actually, Dear Saints, I'd encourage you also look at Hebrews 9:4. There's an awesome footnote on the positioning of the golden incense altar in relation to the ark. I can just commend that to you for your reading. But the point is the ark, the golden incense altar belongs to the ark. And the golden incense altar is the administrative center of the tabernacle. It's the throne. The throne wants to execute. The administrative center, the executing center, is at the golden incense altar. And so this is the highest type of prayer. That the type of prayer that will fulfill the prayer ministry that Brother Watchman Nee we read about. This is the type of prayer that will move God's hand. This type of prayer actually, on one level, it motivates the believers to experience all the aspects of the tabernacle. We all are on a journey. We're all in different stages in the growth in life. This type of prayer motivates us to advance in our Christian life. And all the more, like we see in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered. This type of prayer is a particular prayer. We need to stand on the ground of the body in oneness with the Lord, that his prayers could be carried out and fulfilled. And so this matter of the golden incense altar is very deep, dear saints. It requires us to be one with Christ. Okay, listen to this. We talk about the high peak of the divine revelation, becoming God in life, nature, expression, and function. Okay, what does it mean to become God in function? Okay, we have a shepherd in Christ, and we become God in function by entering into his shepherding. But here, we become God in function by entering into his interceding prayers, into his intercession. Actually, and if you look at the outline, and if you touch the fellowship, Brother Ron gave this message. Actually, it's very, very deep. It's one of the most profound matters in the universe. The corporate Christ is there at the incense altar praying to release God's will on the earth. It's really quite something. We're not merely praying one with the Lord. We are entering into Him. We are becoming one with Him, and we're even becoming Him. This is the deep vision that we see at the golden incense altar. Okay, almost done with my portion. The relationship then with the burnt offering is that, dear saints, to utter these types of prayers, there can be no opinion. There can be no self and no flesh, which means we need to become ashes in God. He's the absolute one, and we lay our hands on him day by day that we would be reduced to ashes. When we experience the Lord to this extent, then we can faithfully cooperate with him in prayer with no frustration. That way, nothing of ourself gets mixed in. Nothing of ourself, our opinions, our flesh get mixed in to this kind of prayer. Otherwise, we frustrate him. And actually, as Brother Ron mentioned, the Lord is waiting. If the Lord doesn't have this type of people, the throne will wait. And so in these days, dear saints, as we're in the midst of a very particular situation, I mean, these last 2 years, we should be sober. Hopefully all of us have been awakened because the Lord is moving. The Lord wants to come back and end this age. And he is waiting for us to cooperate. Actually, as we read, will we limit the Lord? The Lord is waiting, and he has great power, but it's limited by our prayer. Therefore, would we give ourselves? This is not an appeal to our emotions to start to pray more prayers. Actually, it's not about the quantity. As Brother Nee says, it's about the weightiness of our prayer. That type of prayer requires the Lord to operate in us and to work in us. And so may we give ourselves afresh. Amen. May we consecrate, and by doing so, give the Lord the full permission to operate in us, that we could be produced as the proper persons that could be able to pray this kind of prayer. And then the connection with The propitiatory silver, if you look at message 8, is the Lord needs an army. This army is based on our maturity. The Lord is in desperate need of saints to pray for the growth of the whole church. That we could grow to the spiritual age of 20, that we could be formed into an army, that we could possess the all-inclusive Christ and give him a beachhead for his return. So may we give ourselves to the Lord that he could produce us as such people.
Amen.
So at this point, some brothers will read a letter from the co-workers. So I believe it's been passed out here at the meeting hall. I believe it should be shared with the saints on Zoom. Oh, it's not? Oh, that's the ministry portion. Okay, forgive me. So we're going to read the ministry portion. Okay.
Okay, I hope everybody has this sheet of the ministry portion. Before we enter into the reading part, I just feel that from what we have been going through these past years, starting with the pandemic and now with the situation in Ukraine, not just Ukraine, but Russia, may we all enter into the spiritual significance of all this conflict that is going on. We are not here to talk about politics. We are not here to talk about what's going on in this country. But we just want to enter into the spiritual realm.
Amen.
What is God speaking to us today?
Amen.
And I truly feel that the end times is close because this reading is so precious. This was spoken by Brother Watchman Nee almost 82 years ago, November 9, 1940. I wasn't even born yet. And that was during the World War I. And then during all the wars that is going on, in the physical realm, we go into, oh, who's going to win the war, right? That's how human concept is. But today we need to enter into spiritual concept. What is the Lord doing? We need to have the faith that the Lord is behind every situation that is happening in this world today. And we need to be encouraged, and we need to wake up. And even what Brother Tim has shared about prayer, that prayer is our time to really get into the will of God, to be one with the will of God. So I just hope that, you know, after reading this, all of us would truly turn to the Lord and really evaluate our own situation before Him. Are we going to be here, the people that will cooperate with Him? Or are we just going to go on with our own individual lives and, you know, digging ourselves deeper into this world and not realize what the will of God is? Okay, this is from the collective works of Brother Watchman Nee in a conference that was given in November 9, 1940. The title of it is World Wars and the Church. I'll read and then you can just follow me. Many people pay attention to the signs of the end times. Some say that the answer lies in Matthew 24, verses 4 to 14. It is true that the Lord spoke of the end of this age in this portion of the word. As a consequence, the focus of many people is on peoples fighting against peoples, nations against nations. Russia against Ukraine. Christians in Russia fighting against Christians in Ukraine. That's what's happening. Men are called to war, and they have no choice, right? So this is the end times. But we have to see that no matter what the outcome of these wars, and no matter how people fight against peoples and nation against nations, there is only one result, the suffering and loss of God's children. In any war, there are two sides. Spiritually speaking, there are also two sides. On one side, there are the Christians, that is the church, and on the other side, there are the opposing nations. They join together to inflict hardship on God's church. The issue is not which nation wins, the focus is on the people of God. In the war between Japan and China, and we can apply today between Russia and Ukraine, the suffering party is neither China or Japan, Russia or Ukraine, but the people of God. In the war between all these countries, Germany and England, the suffering party is not Germany or England, but the people of God. This is why the Lord said in Matthew 24:9, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. Man looks at the victory or defeat of the nations, but God's view, it is his people who are suffering, no matter which nation wins or loses. Amen.
The spiritual significance of world wars. Today the world is a mess. People are fighting against peoples and nations against nations. We can see war and famine everywhere. These are the works of Satan. In the eyes of the world, nations fight against one another because of antagonism. But in the eyes of God, they are all banded together. Before the European War, World War I, an English brother wrote, "Once the war starts, I do not know how many Christians will be left behind. A Christian cannot take the same view as others at the time of war."
So we have to see the manipulation of Satan behind all wars. Strictly speaking, when one nation fights against another nation, it is not a case of two nations fighting one another. It is a case of two opposing nations rising up to stumble Christians. The end result of the wars is not the downfall of Germany, England, China, or Japan, but the downfall of Christians. Satan's goal is to stumble Christians. A Christian has to realize the spiritual significance of all these things when a war breaks out.
The Lord continued in Matthew 24:13, saying that Christians should endure to the end when they are being hated in wars and tribulations. This will lead to their salvation. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations." During a war, God's children will be persecuted. This is why there is the need to endure. But at the same time, we have to preach the gospel. We also have to be a testimony among the Gentiles. Even if our testimony cannot spread to other nations or regions, it can spread to our city at least. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached continuously in the whole inhabited earth before the end will come.
The world opposing Christ and the Christians. The words in Acts 4:25 are quoted from Psalm 2:1-2, which says, "Why are the nations in an uproar? And why do the peoples contemplate in vain things? The kings of earth take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah and against his anointed. Why are the nations in uproar? Why do they contemplate? They roar and contemplate the removal of Christ. When the Lord was on earth, Herod Pontius Pilate attacked him, God's anointed Christ. Although the Christ in the flesh is no longer on earth today, he is in all the Christians. Hence, the uproar and the contemplation of nations are aimed at the Christians today. Apparently, the world is divided into alliances and the nations. But tonight, I hope that you do not see Germany, Japan, England, or China. You have to see that you are a Christian. Amen. In the eyes of God, the nations roar and the peoples contemplate the vain things to attack Christ and God's people. Herod and Pilate were enemies of each other. But in the matters of the crucifying Christ, they were one. The Jews and the Gentiles thought they became one in Pentecost. But God said at the time of Christ's crucifixion, both the Gentiles and the Israelites had gathered together to stand against Christ and attack his son.
The need of the church's prayer. I do not know how to say this. It is not something that is easy to speak about. I can only say that the church in Shanghai must continue to pray for the Lord to take control of all the things that are happening and will happen in the world. Once war starts, many people lose their jobs. Real estate goes down, gold is in demand, and banks close. Men are anxious to exchange their money for goods and try to hoard them. Once war breaks out, the suffering party is the church. Christians will either suffer loss or be stumbled. They will suffer either materially or spiritually. There is bound to be suffering and loss in some areas. In these days, we do not have time to enjoy entertainment. We have to pray in a specific way. Hades has only one goal, to afflict Christians. The future of 1940 and thereafter is bleak. Christians must have an enlarged view and see the reason and goal of this world war. Great changes may be coming starting tonight and continuing through next spring. If we have any strength at all, we should direct it to prayer. Amen. We must ask the Lord to take control of the situation so that God's children will not stumble and so that the gospel will continue to spread.
Amen. If we have any strength at all, we should direct it to prayer. This reading was quite a revelation to me, that we should realize who we are. Yeah. We are Christians.
Yeah.
Everything of the world is directed by Satan to attack us, to cause us to stumble. This is what it's all about. Even young people at school, wherever you are, There will be things that rise up against you. It's because you're a believer.
Amen.
But you know what? What I was quite burdened for is that all of these matters would not distract us from what God wants.
Amen.
Satan wants to stumble us. God wants us to triumph in His economy.
Amen.
Saints, may our focus be God's wonderful economy of grace. This timing is the sovereign timing of the Lord. This matter we're in now has just been preceded by an incredible conference given there just what, 2 weeks ago? The International Chinese Speaking Conference on grace. Our focus should be on the grace of God.
Amen.
Even the matter of prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is more grace to us. As we contact the Lord, all the matters the brothers mentioned, this is our being one with the Lord, enjoying Him as our grace.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
So, I did want to say that very practically, in a situation as we're in today, there will be many, many reports, and many things that come to us. In our email, in social media, in talk. You know what? This is a situation that Paul addressed in 1 Timothy. He said, I exhorted you when I was going into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things. So it's all these reports, potentially they could be different things. We do need to keep up to date on things that are happening. But we can't let them distract us from God's economy.
Amen.
Nor give heed to myths and unending genealogies which produce questionings rather than God's economy which is in faith.
Amen.
This footnote on myths has been a great help to me. It refers, the word myth, to words, speeches, conversations, concerning such things as rumors, reports. See, these are attacks on us as Christians. True or false stories. This isn't, you know, when I first read the word myths, I thought, oh, this is about, you know, Greek mythology or stuff that people just chat about. It could be a true report. It could be something that's factual. But it distracts us from God's economy. I can tell you, I have experienced this repeatedly.
Amen.
A very factual, true report comes to me. What? I get distracted from my spirit.
Amen.
I get pulled out of the grace.
Yeah.
But God's charge is focus on the grace.
Amen.
So, this is not to give heed to myths, not to give heed to rumors, reports, true or false stories and fictions. In fact, the Bible calls this old womanish myths. But the end of the charge is love out of a pure heart and out of a good conscience and out of unfeigned faith. Saints, I have been very encouraged right in the midst of all of this to be enjoying what was released in the conference. So I'll just conclude with this one portion. The banner says, grace is Christ as our burden bearer and is multiplied to us. When? Through our sufferings. The pandemic is a suffering directed toward Christians.
Right.
This war, the conflict, every conflict is an attack against us believers trying to draw us out. But through our sufferings, limitations, and weaknesses, so there can be sufferings outside. Maybe there's some sufferings within. We have weaknesses. We have failures. Well, the more burdens we have, the more opportunities we have to experience Christ as grace.
Amen.
This is so practical, saints. This situation should turn us to enjoy this grace.
Amen.
That the Lord has provided so marvelously to us.
Amen.
And this matter of prayer, I think the brothers will speak a little more about it, but in this application practically of grace, we need to pray short prayers. Every report that we hear, every news that we read, we should also talk to the Lord.
Amen.
Fellowship with Him. Every weakness that we experience inwardly, talk to the Lord.
Amen.
What this does, it brings in grace.
Amen.
He's there. He's unlimited, abounding grace. In every chapter, just about, of the New Testament, it ends with grace.
Amen.
You talk about a tough and difficult and suffering situation that Paul was under. What did he end with in 1 and 2 Timothy? Grace.
Amen.
The Lord be with you, your spirit. Grace be with you.
Yeah.
Peter, the same way. He was talking to the saints had been dispersed and were under all kinds of sufferings. He fellowship, that grace would be multiplied. They would grow in the grace and in the full knowledge of Christ Jesus. This is grace. The whole Bible ends with grace.
Amen.
So you could say, the whole Bible is about grace. Thank the Lord for God's economy.
Thanks for... For my portion, I would like to help us through the ministry and the fellowship of our brother.
Will the camera.
You
look a lot better from the front row.
For my portion, I would like to help us in our prayer. In the book, The Fellowship Concerning... What about these ones behind me, though?
You can turn around now.
Okay. In the book, The Fellowship Concerning the Urgent Need for the Vital Groups, Brother Lee says this, I want to adjust the way you pray. This is what he said. And then he proceeds to quote Brother Nee in the matter of prayer, which I'll get to in a minute. But I would like to highlight what Andy read here in the last paragraph. He said this, it says this, we have to pray in a specific way.
Right.
And then it says, we must ask the Lord to take control of the situation, ... You can finish the reading. We need to pray with the realization that there is a spiritual warfare. And I will repeat some of the things that... Tim mentioned, there's a spiritual warfare going on, and it's invisible in Daniel chapter 10. You read there. But to us, dear saints, it should not be invisible. To us, it should be crystal clear what is going on. I have some verses also that I would like to give you for clarity to come to us from the Lord so that we would realize what actually is going on in Russia and the Ukraine according to the eternal economy of God to be fulfilled, carried out. In Revelation chapter 4, everything, Russia, the Ukraine, you, I, our situations, our environments were created for His will. For His will. You read Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. I have it written down here so I will not forget. With that in view, we must bring our prayer up to where? Up to the matter, into ascension for the kingdom. For the kingdom to be carried out. That's why Tim mentioned we need to pray big prayers, serious prayers, and strong prayers. This is how we need to pray. Too often, dear saints, and please don't be bothered by me, I'm just quoting. Okay. Too often we waste the Lord's time by praying prayers that are on the earth and praying prayers that are personally centered. We need to pray for my head. I have a headache. I don't have a headache, but anyway. We need to pray for these kinds of things. I'm not saying those are not prayers, but according to this fellowship that Brother Nee gave, that Brother Lee quoted, a lot of times, dear saints, in our prayer, we waste the Lord's time. This situation that is currently going on there in the Eastern Bloc of Europe, in Russia specifically, and so forth, in the Ukraine, calls for prayers from ascension. Amen. Brother Lee says, and Brother Nee says, that the prayer that Satan's realm sphere of activity is on the earth and in the air. But we, dear saints, according to Colossians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 1, where are we? We are in ascension. That means we have to pray down. You know, everyone talks about my height, you know, and I'm not that tall anymore, you know. But when I was playing ball, I used to love little guys. I just looked down on them. And then I just go up over them. We are all 6'9", everyone in here. And you're playing against someone who's 2'2". That's the devil. We're above him. So we need to take our position when we pray. Dear saints, we do not need to waste the Lord's time. What is an example of wasting the Lord's time? Lord, you're on the throne. The Lord says, I already know that. Tell me what you want. Lord, you're the King of Kings. He says, I already know that. Tell me what you want. Like Abraham in Genesis 18 and like Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, they challenged the Lord. Are you not God? You read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 6. Are you not the God in heaven? And look what's going on here. Are you not the king, the ruler of all the earth? Look what's going on there in the Ukraine. Look what's going on there with Russia. Look at the possibility of church folks fighting against church folks. Look at that possibility. Lord, what about your kingdom? What about your rule? You see, we pray this way. And okay. Then Brother Nee says this. Our prayers should be prayers that causes Satan to suffer loss.
Amen.
Dear saints, we need to pray not for the Ukraine, quote, quote, not for Russia, quote, quote, not for Japan, not for China, not for Great Britain, not for England, not for France, but we need to pray that Satan would suffer loss.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, he destroyed him. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he's undoing him. This is how our prayer should be directed. We should be praying to undo the works of the devil. Brother Nee said this, don't worry about praying against Satan too much. Don't worry about that. Christina, Ishmael, don't worry about that. Pray against him. Not against Ishmael. I know you don't. Not against Christina. I know you don't, Ishmael. But pray against the evil one for causing him to suffer much loss. Now, I would like to say this. One of the last things I would like to say is, Satan is, right now, dear saints, Satan is the one who injects in each one of us the fiery darts. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verse, what is it, Bob, 16? Look it up for me. I think it's Ephesians 6, 16. The fiery darts. They come from, that's the suggestions, the question, the opinion that, Tim mentioned. The opinions, the doubt, the worry, the fear. I love what he said. The brother said, are we in a conference or are we in a war? Dear saints, what are we in? Oh, the war is, the battle is the Lord's. And so we just sit back and enjoy. Okay, so I don't know if you have picked up these verses in Psalms, but in Psalm 57, and we will, I will try to reserve at least 10 to 15 minutes for us to pray corporately here against Satan.
Amen.
And for the kingdom, in according to Matthew chapter 6, for the kingdom to come.
Amen.
Listen, it says in verse 13, for yours, Matthew 6:13, for yours is the kingdom, not yours, Satan. Not yours, Satan, but God. For yours is the kingdom.
Amen.
And so we need to pray, dear saints, the kingdom to the earth.
Amen.
That's why we're here. Why are you here? You're here to pray the kingdom to the earth.
Amen.
You're not here to pray for a nice car, although nice cars are nice. You're not here to pray for a nice house. They're nice. But that's not why we are here. We're here to bring the kingdom to terminate this age.
Yes.
Okay, so Satan sends those fiery darts to our minds. Okay, he speaks. Okay, have you noticed in Psalm 57 and Psalm 58, it talks about the roar, it talks about the lion in first and serpents, and in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, it talks about the roaring lion. Lion goes around. The roaring lion goes around. Seeking whom he may devour. Okay, you think this, you think that. Oh, what about this, what about that? Oh, politics, social reform. Oh, Black Lives Matter. Black lives don't matter. Everybody's life matters. Anyway, you know, Satan comes with those kind of things. In Psalm 57, it says, break their teeth.
Amen.
It says, break their... You read it. Psalm 57 and Psalm 58. Break the teeth of the lion, the serpents. That's what it says.
Amen.
You know, you got to put those verses together. Dear saints, we're here to stop the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
That's why we're here.
Amen.
So let's take some time, and if you pray, Lord, you're on the throne. Don't feel, don't be condemned. It's okay. You know, we're slowly learning how to pray. Big prayers, prayers that will turn the age.
Amen.
Amen. So we will pray. Can we pray a little bit now together? In whatever language you want to pray, it's fine. Just say amen. The Spirit is praying.
Amen.
And let's pray for the Lord's will to be done in Ukraine and for all the saints to be protected from the onslaught of the evil one, and that the glory would go to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.